Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is now 9:30. Welcome to this issue-specific hearing as part of the examination of an application by Orsted Hornsey Project 3 UK Limited for an order granting development consent for the construction and operation of the Hornsey 3 offshore wind farm. I'm David Prentice. I'm the lead member of the panel, which comprises the examining authority for this project. And I will now briefly introduce the other panel members, Dr. Catchpole, David Cliff, and Guy Rigby. Also with us today is KJ Johansson, sitting on my right, from the case team for this application. And if you have any procedural matters, you may ask him outside of the hearing. I think everyone is familiar with this room, looking around, so I'm not going to repeat the housekeeping. I think you were all here last night and none of those arrangements have changed. So I'm going to briefly set out the purpose of this hearing, and then I will ask those here to introduce themselves. As I'm sure you're all aware, the examining authority has accepted a proposal to amend the application and to include additional land in two locations. And the purpose of this further issue-specific hearing is to enable any persons with an interest in the additional land, the legislation calls those people additional affected persons, to make oral representations on matters that have been discussed at previous issue-specific hearings. And I won't read out what all those were. There have been 9 of them, and they are listed in the agenda. In fact, if we could just scroll down, we can on the screen, we can see the list there. So that's the purpose of the hearing. Can I ask who is here, starting please with the applicant?
Good morning, Claire Broderick, solicitor at Pinsent Masons for the applicant.
Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Peter Cole. I'm a solicitor from Pinsent Masons for the applicant.
Good morning, Richard Grist, land and property manager for the applicant.
Andrew Guyton, consents manager for the applicant.
Sarah Jalaka, onshore consents manager for the applicant.
Paul Zanna, Create Consulting for the applicant.
Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Chris Monk. I'm from Cawston Parish Council Working Group.
Thank you very much. Having said that the purpose is to hear oral representations from any additional affected persons, it appears that there are no additional affected persons in the room. I'll just pause there in case anyone wants to put up their hand and say they are an additional affected person. It seems not. That being the case, the examining authority is not going to have any questions to ask anybody at this session, because this is an opportunity for additional affected persons. So I'm just going to ask Mr. Monk, what is your expectation of this hearing, or do you have an expectation of this hearing?
Thank you. We felt it was a good idea if one of us came along to observe, really, not knowing quite what would happen at the hearing and not wanting to miss anything that might be pertinent to us. So I got the nominated to be the person to turn up, and here I am.
Thank you. Ms. Broderick, is there anything you want to ask or say or comment?
Claire Broderick for the applicant. No, I mean, there were no additional affected persons as a result of this application. In any event, the persons were all affected in the original application, so we weren't expecting there to be any additional affected persons attending today. We also had consent to the application from all of the relevant landowners and occupiers. However, we mentioned to Mr. Monk before the hearing commenced that if there were any particular questions that he would like to ask of the applicant, then as we have our relevant experts here, and if the examining authority wished to permit it, then we would be willing to answer any of those questions.
Thank you, that's very helpful. Mr. Monk, obviously the hearings we've already had have covered many topics, but traffic and mitigation of traffic impacts are amongst them. Obviously we heard a lot of submissions from yourself and others in the community at Causton last night, so we don't need to repeat those, but the applicants, relevant experts, are here. So if there is a question that you would like to put through me, we can take that opportunity, as we are all here to do that. Is there anything you'd like to ask through me to the applicants?
Thank you. Certainly I'd just mention that all of the people who spoke last night, I've asked to put a written confirmation through, and we're also planning to put our detailed observations through for deadline 10 on the 1st of April. The one point that I have really that I think I could fairly bring up now is looking at the version 5, the revised traffic plan that we came through, and I've just had a chat with the people opposite before you came in. The plan now would be for that road to be resurfaced. We've just been talking about that in the centre of the village, that Orsted have committed to dealing with that if Norfolk County Council don't get round to it before them, and I think we probably both know the answer to that. I'd just like to know how they would propose to carry out those roadworks, because surely that would involve closing the road, removing all the parking for residents, etc. I'm not quite clear what length of time might be involved, and if there were going to be alternative routes in place, then doesn't that suggest that there might be alternative routes that could be used to avoid this part of Causton at all?
Thank you. Just before you answer that, we're probably the only people in the road room who haven't seen version 5 yet. Maybe it's on its way to us electronically and we haven't just caught up with it. I don't know. Maybe we're going to get it later on today or perhaps tomorrow. Could you just briefly outline what it is? And then if you could pick up Mr. Monk's question about the servicing. And if you could just add... Also, if on the panel side we could put in a further question about surfacing, which is that would it be any particular first surface treatment in the sense of a surface treatment that's designed to have some effect on noise? So, Mr. Zanner, I would think.
Yep. Paul Zanner from CREATE. Just to come back to you on those two particular points, the position we've reached with Norfolk County Council is that they have... within their capital plan for effectively 2019-20 is a line there to deal with the resurfacing of the centre of Causton Village, running approximately the distances which we had currently shown as areas to be surface textured. In the various discussions with Norfolk County Council, it came to a conclusion with Highways that the introduction of a surface texture was something which they felt had effectively an overbearing maintenance liability, and therefore they could not support a textured change to the surfacing. So what we've agreed with Norfolk now is essentially that in the absence of Norfolk County Council not completing those works within their capital programme, then the applicant will undertake the resurfacing works prior to the use of a B1145. And essentially that would be a skim off of the existing surface and then the replacement of the wearing course layer to effectively a new surface. In fact, the plans just come up on the screen now. Thank you very much. So the only change between the versions which you've seen at deadline 7 and the version which will be issued today at deadline 9 is the textural change, which is now shown in grey rather than the buff colour. and a commitment that, in the absence of Norfolk County Council completing those works, then we, as the applicant, would undertake those prior to using the B1145. When it comes down to looking at the delivery of those, I think whether it's us or Norfolk County Council undertaking them, I think it is fair to accept that there would be an element of disruption to the existing parking and use of course and High Street while anybody does the maintenance works along that section, and that would have to be duty bound through the various traffic management regulations and requirements of Norfolk County Council to allow those work to proceed under lights.
Sorry, could you just say the last thing you said again?
Apologies, Paul Zanna from CREATE. Essentially, the point about the maintenance works here is whether it's us or Norfolk County Council who would be undertaking...
OK, I got that bit. It's the very last sentence, something about lights.
Well, it's really to do with how would you manage or how would you deliver that section of carriageways, and we would have to introduce traffic management to allow the function of High Street to work with lights in terms of temporary traffic lights whilst introducing the surfacing along that particular section of the High Street. Now, that would apply whether it's us doing it at the point at which we need to use the B1145 or if Norfolk County Council do those work in advance of that.
So, for example, that might be single one-way working?
Correct, yes.
And just so I'm quite clear, in terms of the surface, the outcome of your discussions with the County Council is that the County Council don't want the road surface to be different to other road surfaces in the locality because of their ongoing maintenance responsibilities.
Paul Zanna from CREATE. Essentially, yes, the applicant's proposal was to introduce a textured coloured surface, so it would be applying a buff or similar colour to the centre of Causton to show delineation between, I suppose, what we would consider the main hub of the village. Norfolk's position on that is that they are generally shying away to introducing those sorts of treatments because of the maintenance liability which that creates going forward.
OK, thank you very much for those answers. Mr. Monk, was there any other points you wanted to ask while we have the benefit of the applicant's team with us?
Thank you. May I just say, you've probably gathered I'm not an expert traffic management person. I'm just a lay member of the public who lives right in the middle of that section of road. I find it hard to believe, though, that there is enough width there in that road to operate safely a single lane working of traffic, the amount of traffic that we get through, and have people doing the work on the road surface without causing some level of danger, well, really to both of those groups and any pedestrians that might be around, and obviously a lot of disturbance to residents of the noise of the machinery and the work that goes on. And I know that has to happen to resurface the road anyway. But
well, that was the point I was going to ask you. I mean, I understand the question, and I'll give the applicants a chance to answer in the middle, but presumably the road has been resurfaced before and will be resurfaced again, whether or not this project goes forward.
Well, it's in the time that I've lived there, which is 13 years, I think it's been resurfaced once, and it was pretty disruptive at the time, as I recall. Sorry, and just I would add that certainly in the last few years the traffic volume has increased substantially, and that would be since that resurfacing was done. So I think any problems would be greater this time round.
Thank you. Mr. Zanna, is there anything you can add on that point?
Paul Zanna from CREATE. I think just to add about the safety concerns which have been raised. Where we do see effectively narrow streets or roads or areas where we have pedestrians in close proximity to roadworks, it would be normal for whether the Highway Authority or any contractor would introduce some form of escort service along that section. By that, what we would expect to see here is some element of control of vehicle speed going through a shuttle service, which would, as the lights, if they are introduced, come into play, a shuttle vehicle would effectively travel in advance of the traffic which would be delayed or held at the traffic lights to maintain the speeds of vehicles running through there at a slow speed. So we would expect that would be a prerequisite of Norfolk County Council doing those works. And I believe, unless Mr. Monk can confirm otherwise, that that was a similar scenario which was introduced at the first surfacing works done, I believe, in 2004 in this location.
If I may, if it was 2004, then that was before my time. I moved there in 2006.
OK, well, you can't tell us what happened before you were there.
Unfortunately not.
Thank you. I'm just going to pause for a moment. I'm just going to confer with my colleagues on one matter. Thank you for granting us that brief adjournment to discuss one point. Ms. Broderick, we're really sharing some preliminary thoughts and concerns with you. So this isn't a particularly focused question, but we think it's right to bring the issue to the surface. Clearly, the traffic mitigation proposed in Cawston, the detail of that is coming through very late in the examination. We haven't seen the latest proposals formally submitted yet. There may be comments on that right up to the day we close the examination. It's difficult for us to be confident, this morning at least, that when we get to the end, we will feel we've really fully examined this aspect to the extent that we would have liked to, if it had all come to the fore, as it were, earlier in the examination. The question we've just been asking ourselves, hypothetically, if we do get to that position at the end of the examination, might it be appropriate, something we might consider, is effectively an additional requirement which would probably rather than stipulating any particular output, would be more in the nature of stipulating a process for these matters to be revisited as a pre-commencement requirement. Obviously, and that would build in consultation with various parties. As I say, this is by no means a settled view. It's something which has occurred to us, and we felt that it was right to share that preliminary thought with you while we're all here together, because we're not here to surprise anybody. So I just ask if you have any comments on that.
Sorry, Andrew Guyton for the applicant. I think just to flag that the mechanism which I'd look to and sort of would be the outline CTMP. So that obviously that exists as an outline document, and at the front of that, it does talk about how that's a sort of an effective a live document, but the final document would need to be approved by the Highway Authority in any case. So I'd suggest that might be the route, that the scheme might be put there in an outline form to ensure that the project is committed to doing highway works in the order of the plan, but obviously the details can be continued to be discussed post-consent prior to the commencement of works as some sort of... And that's already secured in the CTMP. And
Yeah, I think we understand that, and we understand how that works in relation to traffic and highway safety. But as we heard last night, this is rather multidimensional. We also have the noise and vibration and the community perceptions about safety and severance and so on. So it may be a broader issue than simply the network capacity and highway safety issues, which would obviously be the main focus of the CTMP. As I say, this is not something we have a view on. We're just sharing those thoughts with you in case you wish to comment.
Claire Bodrick, the applicant. And I think it's perhaps important to highlight, and we did set this out in Appendix 27 to our Deadline 7 submission, that the development of the Cawston Traffic Intervention Scheme has sort of been an iterative process, and the applicant has sought to take into account the comments that have been made by Cawston Parish Council and local residents, which themselves have obviously come forward sort of towards the latter end of the examination. I think that we have been, would want to make it clear that we've been discussing these matters with Norfolk County Council from the very outset, and we have sought to agree the intervention scheme with Norfolk County Council from a highways perspective, but we have also been having ongoing discussions with the other elements of both the local planning authority in relation to noise and heritage and other aspects. So I think that there's sort of obviously two elements to this. There's the sort of more formal engagement with the relevant stakeholders, and Mr. Alaka can provide you with an update of what is due to be submitted for today's deadline in terms of statements of common ground and approvals from the relevant highways officer and the local planning authority in terms of their approval of the scheme that's been put forward. And so there will be obviously a case of the examining authority considering a scheme that has been approved in principle by the Highways Department and the local planning authority, and then obviously the concerns that have been raised by local residents, particularly with the perception of the harm that's going to be caused. So I think that we have sought to have a very transparent process through this, and whilst the very final intervention scheme that is put forward before the examining authority is obviously coming through at the latter stage, as Mr. Zanner explained, there are very few changes from the scheme that was put forward at previous deadlines. So whilst there are quite a few different version numbers, the actual changes between the original option one and then the subsequent proposals have been fairly limited. And I think it's right that we obviously seek to put forward the best scheme that's been approved as we can towards the end of the examination. But as Mr. Guyton says, the DCO already provides for the final CTMP to be approved prior to the commencement of construction, and therefore it will be for the planning authority, which obviously has obligations to consider other aspects and not just traffic, in consultation with the relevant highway authority to approve that plan. So we would argue that there are already those safeguards because the relevant planning authority will need to be satisfied in respect of impacts in other aspects, not just highways, before it improves that final plan.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Mike.
Rather lost my thread in your statement there, but I think I would mention what Councillor Peck said yesterday about this coming across to residents and the parish council as being very much a box-ticking exercise rather than a genuine consultation. I think there's a difference in hearing something and listening to something, and I think we've been able to make comments and they've been heard, but they haven't been listened to, and we've just been blocked back. In fact, I spent some time when I got home last night reading the applicants' responses that had just been published on the website late yesterday, and kept me up till gone midnight. But basically, they came down to, really, they could have put at the beginning of the document, here we have 100 pages of people's responses, but Norfolk County Council have said that the road's fine for 44-tonne HGVs. So that's it. And it's not a we've looked at one or two things and we didn't like it, and so that's it. So all the objections and comments that were being made just had a very cut and pasted response to them, and that to me doesn't come across as being a properly considered consultation. this version 5 apparently was agreed at a meeting between the applicants and the Norfolk County Council highway people. Our county councillor wasn't informed, and I would have thought that he should have been there. There's a lack of democratic accountability filtering back down the process. But I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Monk. Just one further question on this theme of how all of this might be addressed in the order. The construction traffic management plan, which is to which would cover these matters, as things stand, that would accord with the draft construction traffic management plan. So at that stage, as I understand it, and you tell me if I've got this wrong, that would mean that the scheme that the planning authority was considering would be a scheme more or less like the one we've got on the screen now. So my question is, what if the Secretary of State, at the end of all this, isn't happy that that is necessarily an appropriate solution and feels there should be a revisiting of other solutions involving perhaps diverting a proportion of the traffic onto other routes? How would that be captured? If that's where the Secretary of State ends up, how would that be captured in the order?
Claire Brodick, for the applicant. I mean, the wording, obviously, which accords with the outline construction traffic management plan is in there to give some assurances to those who've participated in the process that what we've committed to do is actually carried out into the final document. However, there is, under requirement 26, an ability to amend those details, and that the requirement, I suppose, or the limitation on amendments is that it must be in accordance with the principles and assessments set out in the environmental statement. So we would not be able to, the local planning authority wouldn't be able to approve through this process something that the impacts of which had not been assessed in the environmental statement. So I suppose to the extent that a scheme was put forward that was within the scope of the original environmental assessment, then that would be capable of being done under requirement 26. However, obviously it's not, speaking hypothetically, if it was a proposal that nobody had ever, hadn't considered and hadn't been contemplated within the environmental statement, then our initial views, and we can give it some more thought, but our initial views is that it would probably need to be dealt with by way of a non-material amendment.
Thank you for that. And obviously, if you have any further thoughts on that, then you've got an opportunity to give them to us. Well, thank you very much for those comments. There is a deadline of Monday, the 1st of April, for the receipt of any written submissions of oral representations made at this hearing. And as you all know, the examination is scheduled to be completed by the 2nd of April, after which the panel has 3 months to prepare a report and recommendation to the Secretary of State. So in a moment, I shall close this hearing. We have a further compulsory acquisition hearing here at 12 o'clock. So thank you very much for your attendance this morning and your comments. The hearing is now closed. Yes, please do.
Sorry.
Yes.
It was just a bit of a takeaway from yesterday's open floor hearing that we will commit to writing a sort of what we're calling a signposting document, working through the matters raised. So it's not so much new information, but linking the comments that were raised in the previous open floor hearings, signposting. We we'll try and get that before deadline 10, so in the next couple of days, so that there's time to sort of get it on the web, on the planning inspection website, and then time for those residents, if they so choose, to look through and have some opportunity to respond. So it'll be a signposting document seeking to capture the notes that we caught yesterday and then linking back to submissions previously made, because we appreciate that there was a number of points there that have, in our opinion, been captured, but may not be there.
I understand. Thank you. I'm sure that'd be helpful. OK, thank you very much.
Clare Project for the applicant. No, the intention of it is not to submit new information at this stage, but to highlight where we have already responded to the question elsewhere in the written representations. And I think we acknowledge that obviously the response to those questions is perhaps not the response that Causton Reticence would like, or that they necessarily agree with, and that's accepted. It was merely just because we appreciate that there is a huge volume of information as part of this application, and we just wanted to provide something that could be used, that may assist, so that people can easily find where perhaps we've asked a question on core working hours or the length of time that the construction phase is estimated to last for, those sorts of questions which have come up before in previous hearings and previous answers to questions. It was just to provide an easy guide to where to go and find that answer, accepting that obviously residents may not accept or agree with that answer.
Establishing that we agree to disagree, fair enough. But also, just when you say easy access and things like that, it's far from it to most residents. If you just say, well, we refer to Appendix 24 of Deadline 2, point number 5.3, and then leave them to go through over 1,000 documents on the
website. Well, I'm going to make a couple of suggestions on the process. I understand that point. There is a huge amount of documentation. But two things. Firstly, if the document could be sent directly to the parish council and district council, because obviously we tend to publish things at deadlines. So if it can be copied to them, that would, I'm sure, be very helpful. And secondly, with the use of the examination library references, you can get very quickly to a particular document. So long as someone's told you what the examination library reference was, it is really quick to find it on the project website.
I grant you. I mean, I do that. I've been doing that, and other colleagues that have been on the working party have been doing that. But the general public, the people that were here yesterday making their comments, they find that whole thing overwhelming. And it would be so much easier if the applicant, when they're putting this document together, could maybe just pull out the relevant paragraph and put it into the signposting document, so they can see this is the point that was made and this was the answer that we gave back at deadline one, and just put the words there rather than just the reference.
Okay. Well, I'm sure the applicant has heard what you have to say. Ultimately, it's their document, and they will put in what they see fit. But as I understand it, they're not trying to say anything new. They're just trying to be helpful and help people to find material that is already before the examination at various stages over this long and this long examination. Thank you all very much. The hearing's now closed.